Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Hey, anyone know what channel the game's on?
We know. Download the Sports on What app today and always know how to watch the game. Satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Subscribe today to start your 7-day free trial. Sports on What. We know.
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the men's room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Good time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk and Steve of Thrill Hill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed. Real quick, Mike, pro tip here from the texters. Apparently, BECU has free ATM usage at all 7-Eleven stores nationwide.
Nice!
And you're not visiting somewhere that does not have 7-Eleven, right?
They go ding, 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 and everyone knows ding, 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 ding. It's like it's ringing through the whole store.
I know.
Take money on.
He's taking money. He has cash.
Go grab his ass.
Today, we toast music legend and icon Quincy Jones. Yes. Passed away yesterday at the age of 91. They're not giving a cause of death, but I'll repeat, he was 91. He was one of the most accomplished and well-known producers, songwriters, and composers ever. Like, ever, ever. Now, sure, he wrote the theme, The Shaft, and Sanford and Son, two of my personal favorites. When I need a little stank on my funk is the best way to explain that. He also produced Michael Jackson's three biggest albums, Off the Wall, Thriller, and Bad. He's a guy that convinced Slash and Eddie Van Halen to lay guitar tracks down on respective songs. Because frankly, if you're a musician and Quincy Jones says, hey, do me a favor, do his ass a favor. He also provided the musical adaptation and producer credits for The Wiz when they put it on TV. Steven Spielberg's The Color Purple. He was an executive producer of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Did not know that. To put it in perspective, Jones won 28 Grammys. He's the only person to win Grammys in six consecutive decades. Think about that for a second. He also won an Emmy, a Tony, and a few Oscars. In other words, he's one of 27 people to be an EGOT winner. And I could go on. There's just not enough time.
He wrote We Are the World with Lionel Richie.
I was getting ready to say, I respect the man so much that I forgive him for We Are the World.
Okay, right.
Now, look, it was for a great cause.
It was. I mean,
but the song, you couldn't get away from it, and I didn't even like it.
To bring
the first
all those
time.
Musicians together for one cause, and every one of them showed up at one time. It wasn't done over Zoom.
No.
It wasn't, I'll lay my part here and give it to you.
No, no, no.
They all came into
his
one
deal
song.
Was, we're going to record the song, and your ass, if you want to be a part of it, you're in the studio at the same time as these other musicians, and I believe he had the quote of check your ego at the door. Mm-hmm. And frankly, no matter who those musicians were, Bruce Springsteen, Michael Jackson, Diana Ross, Lionel Richie, all these power hitters back in the day, but all of them could kiss the ring of Quincy Jones.
Yeah,
I mean, that was like, hey, man, what he says is how it's going to be.
We're going to cover him in about 15 minutes.
Dude, I'm telling you, to me, that he is a pioneer of music. That guy was fantastic. So we pour this booze, and his daughter's hot. So we pour this booze, and we drink this booze. She is, man. Because we think it's yummy.
Yummy!
So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies. Down the hola, bitchola!
The Men's Room presents Profile This.
And Stephen Thrill Hill, could you please tell everyone how Profile This is played?
I sure can, Miles. It's a simple game where we share with you a real-life news story. Something that happened right here on planet Earth.
Earth, 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 Earth.
And as you listen to the story, based on the stereotypes you believe to be true of people and the decisions that people make, we'll ask you what it is you think makes the story a story. Hello, Ray. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hello.
Hola. All right, Ray, you understand how this here game was played?
Yes, sir, I do.
All right, you got your choice of one of three stories. We have interior decorating, where you guess the foreign object that ended up on the inside of someone. Hit me with your best shot, where you guess the unconventional object that someone chose to use as a weapon. And finally, a new category, license to spill, where you guess the substance that made the mess.
I'm going to go with the new one.
By the way, we just toasted Quincy Jones, Garfield High alumni.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. All right, Ray, here's
before he
story.
Moved to Chicago, I believe.
Yeah, he went from Seattle to Chicago, where he ran with gangs, and then got into music.
Yep.
All right. On Friday, September 13th, a truck bound for Georgia took a turn too sharply, spilling 216,000 individual objects onto I-75 in Atlanta. Now, according to Trivium Studios, that's the place where the truck was headed, the community manager, speaking to media about the incident, said the truck was carrying three pallets of the object for use in an unannounced game. Approximately half the truck's load wound up strewn across the busy highway. Atlanta Highway Emergency Response Operators units, well, they helped Trivium employees clean up the mess using brooms, shovels, etc., to salvage what they could. Now, while losing a substantial amount of the pricey merchandise isn't great, Trivium's representative said the company, which plans to unveil this new game associated with all those objects, closer than its planned launch. They maintain a positive attitude. They said, quote, though unfortunate, it happened. Nobody got hurt, and we now own the unofficial world record for the largest of this type of spill in history. Congratulations, I guess. The question is, what did the truck spill all over the highway for their upcoming game? Was it marbles? Was it Lego pieces? Was it dice? Or was it the individual game pieces for the game? So again, marbles, Legos, dice, or game pieces?
Wow, that's a good one. Anybody have a guess?
just based on the specifics, I'm going to just say individual game pieces there, right?
Okay.
I feel like people go nuts for marbles. I don't know marbles. Why, but people are protective over their marbles. Yes.
Protective of their marble. Don't touch my marble. I will kill you if you touch my marble.
I'm going to go with dice because there's so many games out there with dice.
Yeah, sure enough.
I do it all the time.
All right.
What were thousands and thousands and thousands of spilled all over the roadway? Marbles, Lego pieces, dice, or individual game pieces? We'll find out next.
That was a tease.
99.9 KISW. We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
Brand new category today on Profile This, License to Spill. The idea being you figure out the substance that was spilled wherever it was spilled. In this case, we have a truck took a turn too sharply on its way into Atlanta and spilled thousands of stuff from a game all over the road.
Yeah, they were specifically delivering these things for the launch of this big game.
They're trying to shovel it off the road and everything else. Question is, what were the things involved in the game that spilled all over the road? Marbles, Lego pieces, dice, or the individual game pieces?
And Ray, that is the very question that we posed to you, but let us start with the very own Lyle Montgomery. You went with the old game pieces.
I did.
Seems like a reasonable guess. Although, to be honest with you, I don't know what the game
either
is.
Either way, I'm right because these pieces are involved with the game.
Yes, technically, everything's a game piece.
See, if you I'm need a it. Winner.
Uh-huh. Mm. Miles taking the umbrella approach.
Miles always right. takes the asterisk with right. man.
Mike, you went with marbles.
Oh, come on. Damn it.
Right, it was not marbles. And Ray, you said dice. You said people love dice. It was
a okay. Nice job, Ray. There you go.
I'm willing to guess these are like the 12-sided or 18-sided, your standard.
My same logic with the marbles, you're right. When it comes to those die, they're very special.
Or they're color-coded.
Right.
It's not just 1 through 6.
You can get really, really fancy, you know, whatever the
old
D, day, whatever
old
dice.
Days of D&D, man. People had some really cool dice.
Oh, man.
Oh, and like, they owned them.
Now for all TV news all the time, it is time for TV Time with Ted.
And now, because your pathetic life is confined to countless hours in front of a talking box, the Men's Room presents TV Time with Ted.
No sip of water today.
No sip of water. You know what? Hang on. I got it.
There it is.
That's out of my official Emma 94.1.
Yeah.
Playing everything from the 90s, 2000s, and now.
That is such a tiny little bottle. It's a great bottle. It's just so small.
But it's good for me because, you know what, I like to drink in small doses. It has me keep on going back. It's not too much of a big thing to tackle.
That's the one I fill with booze, and then the bigger ones I put actual water.
I'll tell you what, the one thing about our new station there, 94.1.
Yeah.
If you turn it on, good luck turning it off.
Oh, facts.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. They play
it's
some,
great.
They play some jams on that one. You'll get caught up. You'll be like, oh, man, this is pretty good.
The problem is that it's right in my wheelhouse, and with the kids today, you see, it's considered like old people music.
Nah,
incorporated with their music as well, but it's like, dang, I'm on the old side of the spectrum.
No, you are.
This is the stuff that I was listening to when I was a kid. I love this stuff.
I do, too. I really like it.
It's great. I still honestly have it on in my car. I love that station. 94.1, Emma.
Yeah. All right. Don't listen to us.
All right.
What are you doing right now? What do we have to lose?
The hell? We mentioned it during the shot of the day. Unfortunately, yes, music legend Quincy Jones has unfortunately passed away. He died last night at his own home in Bel Air, surrounded by his family. He was 91 years old. He had spent more than 7 decades in the music industry, and over the course of his amazing career, he'd earned, as you said, 28 Grammys, 2 honorary Oscars, an Emmy for Roots, and he also produced the 1985 charity hit We Are the World, which was written by Lionel Richie and Michael Jackson. He wrote, orchestrated, and produced a lot of well-known instrumentals, and we actually do have a little little sequence right here, so see if you can point out your favorite of Quincy Jones's work here.
Hammering it.
There you go.
And I'm telling you, we know the theme song, right? There's a full song that goes with this. It gets badass.
At the end.
It's crazy, man. Hold on. Oh, man, I know this. TV show?
I think so.
Yeah.
Y'all know this one. Classic. So some of the ones that you might have heard there, he wrote, orchestrated, and produced a lot of well-known instrumentals that became theme songs to shows like Sanford and Son and Ironside. And his song, Soul Bossa Nova, was used in Austin Powers, which you just heard there. Mm-hmm. He also produced Thriller, The Wiz, the movie The Color Purple, and a little TV show called Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
So, okay, Mike, when I was reading the obituary, or just the thoughts, he died at his home in Bel-Air.
He did.
And I just thought to myself, he co-produced The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that he has been living in Bel Air for decades.
Probably.
And so when he was part of writing that story and coming up with what would happen, you got a guy from Philadelphia that moves across the country. Where does he move to?
Bel Air.
So he could relate to that, all the rich neighbors he had.
Sure,
you bet.
The whole storyline was based basically on like, yeah, have that guy move to my hometown.
You know? I got this figured out. Switching gears here, we got a little bit of news that's coming up here. One of the, we talked about my childhood and the things that I enjoyed growing up here. Just a second here with our station Emma, but this is another movie that I grew up and I watched it over and over and over again. Has anybody ever heard of Roger Rabbit? Who framed Rabbit?
Yeah, of course.
So for a long time here now, people have been asking for a sequel, and here we go. Many lesser properties have been remade, rebooted, and sequelized. How has Hollywood not gotten around to this one? Unfortunately, there will not be a Roger Rabbit sequel, and there's one factor. Can anybody guess the one factor as to why they will not make a sequel to Roger Rabbit?
Because they don't want to ruin the original, hopefully.
No.
That'd be a great answer, but no, that's not what it is.
I read the answer, so I won't say it, but yeah, I do know why, and even though it annoys the living hell out of me, when you consider who owns the property, you go, well, of course.
Mike, you won't understand this, but because of technology these days, but back in our day.
Back in the day.
Oh, that was like one of the first movies that incorporated in, you know, animation.
Cartoons into
live action.
Oh, it was cutting edge.
So for us, that was the cool factor of this, just how well it was done, how realistic it was done, shadows and things like that, where you could have like a very remedial version of that. You might have had it once or twice before, but nothing that was as cool
looking. A full-length feature film.
And realistic looking than that movie, and incorporating the two.
And I would even say that directors and producers and whoever it is that deals with this technology today could still take notes from what that movie did.
Then Space Jam did it. Then a number of other movies did it, but that was like the first.
And I feel like they still did it the best. I still watch that movie.
I agree.
And the interaction between the live action and the cartoon characters was unparalleled and still is.
Mm-hmm.
It's phenomenal. But here's the thing. The directors said, quote, there's a good script sitting at Disney, but here's the thing. Here's what you have to know, and you know this. The current Disney would never make Roger Rabbit today, and because they can't make a movie with Jessica in it.
Mm-hmm.
It is Jessica Rabbit's fault. And it makes full sense. She was made to be a sex symbol. She was made to be something to be ogled at, and she was by like every character that was in that movie. And we can't do that today,
right? No,
that kind of goes against.
It's Disney, man.
Right, we can't get that done. He also pointed out that Disney put Jessica in a trench coat rather than her trademark sexy red dress for its Toontown attraction at Disneyland. She's got to get covered up. This is going to be marketed to kids,
in Toontown, is it an actual human being playing her, or is it someone in costume?
So the Toontown attraction, I gotta believe that it's some sort of an animatronic.
Then I feel like you could leave it alone. Like, I get what they're saying. It's Disney. They're gonna be, you know.
Roger Rabbit does have a ride there at Disneyland, so I think that's what they're talking about.
Yeah, it's called Jessica.
It's called You're Not Gonna Have a Fun Time on the Day.
This is not gonna be fun. Switching gears here one more time. So, another character that has been honestly kind of painted in a negative light here recently is Jenny from Forrest Gump. So she's been painted in a negative light here because there's a lot of people, there's a new revolution that's coming out of these different characters in movies and TV shows that while they're not portrayed as such, when you think about it, they're actually villains of the story.
What? Because younger people are watching these movies again and they have a different interpretation of what they're seeing compared to when we were watching it at our time.
That's a good call, Miles.
You know, it's just like, wow, that's blatantly...
So how is she the villain?
Okay, because of the way she treated Forrest Gump.
Right.
So she was always needing Forrest when... He was always in love with Jenny.
Hey, kids, let me let you in on a secret.
She would pop up from time to time.
Yeah.
They were lifelong friends, but she never stuck around with Forrest. She'd always go with another man, come back with a kid.
When she needed him, she was there for him.
When she needed him, he was there.
Right.
But when he needed her, she never was.
Right.
So he kept trying to pursue this woman who never wanted to be with him, but was always just putting him in the friend zone, so to speak.
Exactly.
Does that make her the villain? And look, I know he's supposed to be an idiot, but still, you got to get off the bench at some point.
And the thing is,
that's life. That is how life works.
It's not villainous for her to put him in the friend zone because you can never blame anybody for putting anybody in the friend zone. I understand that. However, she kind of did string him along almost. She
Correct.
Did just kind of kill him at the end of the dangled carrot.
Him. Yeah, without a doubt. Look, I get it all.
And then she threw him some ass after she had hepatitis.
Isn't that what he was looking for?
Hepatitis? Probably
wasn't
not.
He looking to get ass? I mean, it's all that. Look, he was pursuing it at some point. And again, I know he's a moron.
Right.
I mean, literally, that's what he's supposed to be in a movie. But still, you go like, bro. You got to get off the bench. And look, if you love her that much, good on you.
Like, he finally stands up for himself. He's finally like, hey, you know what? What you're doing is crap. And she's like, all right, fine. Mm-hmm. Here, I'll give you...
By the way, you got a kid.
That's right.
And I'm going to die.
He looks just like it. He's so smart. Like, I got it.
I mean, I get what they're saying. Like, yeah.
But she's actually defending her character as Jenny and Forrest Gump against interpretations that she was anti-feminist. In an interview with New York Times alongside her co-star Tom Hanks, she was asked what she makes of discussions surrounding Jenny's seeming punishment for living a life of freedom. The 6-time Oscar-winning romantic drama and historical fiction tale shows writes, leading woman embarking on a freewheeling life and upbringing filled with child abuse, contributing to her drug use, sex work, and overall flighty nature, ultimately ending in her death from an unnamed illness, which was... They said it was related to...
She's also of that era of being a free spirit. You know, early 70s.
Yeah, they miss all of that.
Like the hippie thing. Like all those things.
You were abused by your father. And they're like, but that's no excuse.
You can be an independent, strong woman. You can live on your own. You don't need a husband. Like all those things were just, you know, that was part of that era.
Yeah. And and she's saying it's not about any of the things that were mentioned there before. She says people have said that she's a Voldemort to Forrest. I wouldn't choose that as a reference, but she was kind of selfish. I don't think it's a punishment that she gets AIDS. She was so promiscuous that that was the selfishness that she did what she did to Forrest. Says he was in love with her from day one, and she was just flighty and running, doing coke and hooking up with a Black Panther.
Yeah, I mean that's what she did. Like,
right.
Like I said, she's not a role model, but I would not consider her to be a villain.
No. Yeah.
And I've known a million people like that. I still do.
That's
fair. Like, you know, just like, come on, man.
But it did get me to think, and I did find a list here, and this actually comes to us from Ranker, and these are movie heroes who are actually villains when you think about it.
Okay.
So this is kind of in the same vein there, and there's just a handful of here, but they go with characters like Mrs. Doubtfire in the movie Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah.
I don't remember the plot well enough.
So the plot was that Robin Williams is... He's not a deadbeat dad, but he's not exactly the best husband. He's not exactly the best father. He's the father that's always the good guy, but he's never the bad guy.
Right?
He never conforms to what it is that his wife is asking him. And she's just trying to, like, hey, could you just clean up around the house? Hey, could you set up this birthday party? Hey, could you get this done? And he's all the time playing the good guy with his kids and forcing her to be the bad guy, which is why they inevitably divorce. What they say on his analog divorce, he's denied custody of his kids because of his past reckless behavior, and to reunite with his family upon closer examination, perhaps it's better that he had just stayed away. So the thing is that he was deemed unfit to be around his kids.
So he,
dressed up as a woman and then showed up as a nanny so that he could fake his way into being around his kids. That's, if you think about it, that in terms of today, like, you can understand why it is that he's doing it, but at the same time, it's like, that's illegal as hell, bro.
And why wouldn't you just be a good dad?
Hey!
As opposed to dressing as a woman to get back. Right. That's crazy.
They go with Maverick in Top Gun.
As being like an antagonist?
Says,
well, a little bit. I mean, think about the military, man. You follow orders.
Let's see.
No, it's not him.
Navy pilot Maverick doesn't listen to authority, even though it's he's in the actual military, and that's sort of exactly what you're trained to do. Iceman tells him the enemy's dangerous, but right now you're worse, dangerous and foolish. And he says, and he is. Maverick is very unsafe when he flies. He wrangles with his father issues and can't control his anger. His ego is for real, writing checks that his body can't cash. And at some point, either Maverick has to grow up and act like an adult, or he's going to continue to put himself and his co-pilots in danger.
One of the first scenes of he's riding a motorcycle still without a helmet. Right. So obviously, you know, that's part of his character.
He's reckless.
He's reckless.
Anybody watch Titanic?
Sure. Of course.
The character of Rose, they say, is actually a villain. He says, let's just forget the theory that there was plenty of room for Jack on the floating
island.
There was. Blah, 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 blah. But Cal, who is played by Billy Zane, may appear on the surface to be a villain of the movie. Granted, he's not the nicest guy, but because he's rich, Rose agrees to marry him in order to save her family from financial ruin. So when Cal attempts to thwart Rose's relationship with Jack, we should probably sympathize with the man getting cheated on, not the person cheating.
Mm-hmm.
So putting young Rose aside, it's old Rose that really makes her character villainous. We find out that after the Titanic disaster, she was ultimately able to marry a man that she loved, she had children, and then she had grandchildren. What would have been really nice for the whole family for generations to come would have been the $250 million diamond necklace that she just tossed in the doggone ocean. So these are movie heroes that are actually villains here. We're wrapping it up close. One that I did love, it was Glinda the Good Witch in Wizard of Oz.
Says, well, she did just kind of like, I know you just murdered my friend's sister, but we're going to water under the bridge.
Exactly. After Dorothy's house crushes the Wicked Witch of the East in Oz, Glinda is the one who takes the Wicked Witch's red slippers off of her feet, transposes them onto Dorothy's feet, and of course is going to enrage the Wicked Witch of the West and rightful heir to the red slippers. But Glinda wants to pick a fight with the West Side Witch. Says, has there ever been a bigger jerk move in the history of this? Glinda essentially glues a prized possession to Dorothy's feet and turns her into a patsy. She's the master manipulator in Oz, and she pushes Dorothy into a dust-up with the Wicked Witch of the West in order for Glinda to be the only magic game in town.
Yeah, because in the end, the Wicked Witch dies.
Mm. Right!
And she wouldn't have cared about Dorothy if she just got her damn shoes.
And then the one that keeps coming up, Grandpa Joe in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Grandpa Joe?
Grandpa Joe.
How was he the villain?
So he's garnered such a bad reputation over the years that there is even a website called Say No to Grandpa Joe, exposing the truth. Upon further examination, Grandpa Joe is kind of selfish. He spends money on tobacco while the other seven members of his family are forced to eat cabbage soup every single day. Another solid argument for Grandpa Joe as a villain is that he has nothing more than a slacker. He could have been working the 20 years that he spent in bed constantly criticizing his family, pretending to be too sick to help out, and when Charlie tells his family that he has the coveted golden ticket, what do you know? He jumps right out of bed and actually dances. His spryness is actually amazing for a man in his 90s whose feet have not touched the ground in 2 decades, but he's all fine and ready to go. He can't work, but we can go to a chocolate factory and get a doggone factory. Yeah. Now we're rolling on that one. Good work there.
I feel
everybody.
Like my entire life's been a lie.
Right, and I don't disagree with that. It's like, you know what? Yeah, he's just mooching off his doggone family up until he hears he's got an opportunity to go get free chocolate. Let's go.
What about Skywalker? He went in there kissing his sister, needs all the help from everyone else to be a star.
He got people killed, yeah.
He did. Seriously. It's not a bad call at all there, Miles. What are you going to watch tonight? Monday Night Football is currently on over on ESPN. The Kansas City Chiefs host the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You've also got The Voice, which is on over on NBC. And then Saturday Night Live, the 2024 election specials at 10 p.m. over on NBC.
All right.
Which is probably going to be on at 7. Late night tonight, if you find yourself unable to sleep, I'm going to say turn on Jimmy Fallon. He's got Kevin Klein.
Thank you.
Appreciate it there, Mike. Let's see. Headlines are coming up. You're listening to The Men's Room.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Now, it's time to hit the head. Lines. Here's Mike Hawk.
At our top story, we go to Missouri, where a nail salon got a little bit more interesting than usual. It was a normal day at the salon until something came crashing through the window. A fully grown deer. The animal crashed around the facility, apparently checking through each station before eventually wandering into the bathroom where they trapped it, making a good mess of things along the way. A video is making the rounds online after officers were called and the animal was safely removed from the building. No injuries were reported.
Deer never walk through the door. I feel like a lot of times with bears, they knock a door open, yeah. They walk in. Right? Deer, somehow, it's always through a window, never a door, always a bigger mess than the bear makes.
Right. And they have to freak the F out right. Every time they do it.
Right.
And
bears seem much more, like, you don't want to walk into a bear in your home, but as far as the good of your home goes, it seems that a bear leaves it less damaged than a deer.
Correct. And a deer always looks at you like it's your fault that it's trapped in here.
Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like a deer is like a meth head to broke into your house, right?
Yeah.
It freaks out, rips stuff apart. It's paranoid. The bear is like your drunk neighbor who's too big for you to argue with it.
Right.
I'm going to your fridge and I'm taking your food. And you go, I'm going to let you.
Right.
And then eventually they'll leave.
In other news, speaking of getting interesting, a museum in Spokane was the location for some unforeseen excitement. It's not out of the ordinary for folks to drop off boxes with donations of historical objects that have been passed down over the ages, and one such contribution is no different. Featuring several items from the First World War, including military helmets from both German and American troops, a gas mask, and a uniform jacket, but it also included a box with ammunition. The bullets aren't usually something to be too concerned about in general, but given the age, they could become unstable.
Right.
Time, which is why the bomb squad ended up getting called to the building. Overall, they did determine that a few of the rounds were safe, but several were unable to determine. They didn't know. They had an X-ray machine that they could scan for the most part inside.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, it didn't work on this one as far as just the quick little whoop-whoop screening, so screw it.
Yeah,
wrap these things up. Get the hell out of here. The museum was able to keep a few of the safer rounds for preservation.
So they did get a few out of there.
They did. A little bit of historical preservation there. So
how did they figure out that they needed to call the bomb squad? Did something, you know, like you get the stuff at your museum.
I think
museum.
It's just because it was munitions, and there's got to be some sort of a guidance with there.
So not a panic call, but just, hey, can you do the once over?
Right.
Make sure
well, and they did talk about how when the troops came back, like they weren't exactly supposed to keep this stuff. However, they did deactivate, if you will, the bullets that, you know, taking the gunpowder or the firing pin out of it, whatever it is. I don't know exactly what it is, but they take the explosiveness out of the bullet, and then they allow you to keep the bullet just for a keepsake.
Sure.
Not necessarily the case with all these guys. Right. Some of them just pocketed a whole bunch of bullets and took them home. So
it seems like if you manage to smuggle illegal contraband, that is not for your personal, like drugs or something.
Right.
If you hold onto it long enough, you can give it to a museum.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, my God, hey, Europe's built on that, right?
Over to Boston, where we find another case of what the locals call starrowing. There's a local roadway in the city called Starrow Drive, and it features several bridges that go up and over the road, which are a little shorter than your average clearance for bridges, leading several trucks to lose cargo and parts as they pass underneath, unable to clear it. The latest of which was a truck that was hauling porta-potties, sending a few tumbling onto the road below. The report says that the truck originally left the scene, but did return about 20 minutes later to clean things up.
I promise you, none of those were the porta potty porta potty.
That's a fact. They stay clean.
Could have been, though.
But just in case those stories have the bad taste in your mouth.
Thankfully, there's good news.
We don't have to travel far as we go to Portland, where they're trying something new. Air travel is a lot of things for different people, but nerve-wracking seems to be a descriptor that most people can put down. But they're doing something to combat that at the airport down there in Portland with the introduction of llamas. They started bringing llamas right through the front door and take them to a staging area in which passengers can take a moment to interact with them. If, you know, they can pet them, they can take pictures with them, they can just stand there with them for a little while.
Anyway, he's TSA pre-checked. You can see him anywhere.
That's right. But it's effectively working to reduce stress and anxiety levels in travelers. They're hoping to do research on the subject to see if it makes the overall experience better, but it requires further testing. I'm for it.
Put the animals in there, man.
It makes it a little bit more fun. Men's room sports. The Seahawks put on another disappointing display yesterday against the Rams with at least two turnovers in the red zone, one of which came back for a pick six. The defense held well in spite of the offense not able to capitalize on good positioning to keep things tied at the end of regulation, but ultimately folded under the pressure after a passed opportunity for a field goal in overtime, leading the Rams to victory. They're off next weekend for the bye week. Hopefully that'll give them ample time to work kinks out in their system and get back on track before going to Levi Stadium for their second game against the Niners the following week. What are you going to watch tonight? You've got hockey on NHL, basketball on NBA, even some college hoops over on FS1, and the Cougs are on ESPN Plus if you want to check that out. And of course, Monday Night Football tonight, you got the Bucks and the Chiefs over on ABC and ESPN. As far as your weather, we're expecting some clouds tonight, but it should be mostly clear with a low of right around 42, and then should be a similar day tomorrow with some clouds on a mostly sunny day and a high right around 53. And that is it for your headlines. With that, Mike Hawk is on.
Thank you, sir. We'll see you next time. It's election day. We'll feature that on Sit and Spin. The lovely Jolene is up next.
Yes, indeed. It's all true. But in the meantime, well, we be all about this bitch. So until next time, please do what you do best. And for Aletha's sake, stay beautiful.
The men's room has been taped before a live studio audience. Wardrobe and makeup provided by Mantastic Limited. This has been a presentation of the Men's Room Radio Network.
Oh, man!
A Double Flush production.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.